We are very happy to continue our weekly feature on the roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It is our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. Today, we'll check in with the Pennsylvania Humanities Council and discuss the evolving artistry of the Beatles. PHC Commonwealth Speaker Kenneth Womack, Professor of English and Associate Dean for Academic Affairs at Penn State University's Altoona College, joins us this morning. He is the author and editor of more than 20 books, including Long and Winding Roads, The Evolving Artistry of the Beatles, and The Cambridge Companion to the Beatles. In his presentations for the Pennsylvania Humanities Council, he brings the story of the Fab Four vividly to life through an audio and video-oriented discussion. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Kenneth Womack to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It is great to be with you on this beautiful Pennsylvania Friday.
It is absolutely. You know, I have to say that while I have not seen your presentation, I would love to see your presentation. And what I think is fascinating about this group, what is fascinating about the music, what is fascinating about the time period, is that for those of us who are fans, you can't seem to get enough, can you?
No, in fact, the public does seem to indeed have an insatiable demand for all things Beatles, and it doesn't seem to have ebbed, quite frankly, in recent years.
You know, I was driving home last night, and the main news story, and there's a billboard on my way home, and it has, you know, stories of the day, and the big story, of course, was that one of the big stories was that Paul McCartney had canceled several tours in Asia because of a virus, and it's interesting because something like that is very newsworthy because we have such an investment in these individuals.
We do, and I think Paul's mortality has kind of stricken us a little bit. If you notice the tenor of the news reports, when folks found out that Paul is in the hospital in Tokyo and that he has a virus, immediately, you know, it seems as if our own mortality is suddenly in jeopardy. It's a story no one wants to hear about, and of course, if we believe his spokespeople, which we should, that he will make a full recovery, but it starts to bring our own sort of mortality into doubt, and the great Beatles dream indeed seems kind of stricken by that kind of report.
When you put these, absolutely, I agree with you entirely. I think when you look at the presentations that you do, obviously you have it in your mind that this group is very much still relevant. Why do you think that is the case? Why is this group that started to make music some 50 years ago is still so relevant to us right now in 2014?
Well, I think one merely needs to look at the Grammy Awards, the American Music Awards, and I don't really mean this as the critical statement with which it's going to sound, but when you watch those shows and you see the new music of today, it often does not compare, and it reminds us of just how timeless the Beatles are and the classic melodies that Lennon and McCartney in particular were writing. They are the Beethoven, the Mozart of their age, and we need to understand them in that way. It doesn't mean that new artists aren't necessarily trying to find their own way or making great music. It just reminds us that the Beatles are superlative, and they have that kind of classic status. That's why they're still relevant. When I do my Pennsylvania Humanities Council's presentations across the state, it is fascinating to watch the audience because when they come in, they're not just folks from the original Beatles generation in the 1960s. They're people bringing their grandchildren and their children. It really is a group of all ages, from the single digits to the late double digits. They're all interested in the Beatles, and they continue to be so.
I think it is it's fascinating. I go back to Paul McCartney for a second, but I saw Paul McCartney perform in Brooklyn last year, just about a year ago. And what was more fascinating than watching him, which is hard to imagine, is watching how the music resonated with people and how it almost goes And this sounds like I'm overstating it, but I think anyone who's seen it will understand what I'm saying, is that it goes to their very core. It's not just a song. It's not just, it brings so much to an individual, young and old. And that, it to me, is something that is A, a rarity, and B, you wonder if it could ever be duplicated again.
Right, and I think it's, we keep speaking in the music press about when we'll have another Beatles or Elvis. Well, we may not see something like that in our lifetimes. That may be up to other generations and other parts of history to discover. But that phenomenon you're describing that you saw in Brooklyn is very, very real. I was struck when I took the family to see McCartney last summer, I guess on the same tour, when he was down in D.C. at Nationals Park.
Oh, yeah.
And it was rather late in the show, and we had some decent seats, not the greatest, not the worst, but we were fairly close. And, of course, you have the Barkers hawking popcorn and beer and that sort of thing. And there was nearly a fight breaking out during Blackbird when this fellow was trying to sell beer, late in the show. And one audience member was like, what the hell are you doing? It's Blackbird. there is a different kind of ambiance at those concerts.
And especially after the setup of about the connection to the Vietnam War and so forth. So it's very interesting of because there's a nostalgia aspect, but I'm also fascinated of who's listening to the Beatles now. And you look at the iTunes sales, you look at the few studies that have been done on this, that their audience of young people is quite extraordinary.
It certainly is. I regularly teach a course on the Beatles for Penn State, and they're very much just as possessive of the Beatles as that original Beatles generation was. They discover the Beatles on their own terms, and of course, when a kid today discovers the Beatles, she or he discovers the Beatles in full flower. They can have the whole collection tonight, or now, right this minute. And they take ownership just as every other generation has. And so when kids come into that class, our Penn State freshmen and sophomores, etc., they're coming to learn more about the band that most inspires them, which just happens to be the same group that's been doing it now for generations.
When you say, because you can make a statement like, here is a band that changed the world, and it just sounds like words, but you can make a case for that, can't you?
You certainly can, and the reason, I think, one of the reasons, because there are many, that they still fascinate us, was really underscored to me by a former professor here at Penn State who happened to have passed away a few years ago, but he always took issue with that that statement, that the Beatles changed the world or the Beatles have made and remade popular music. And his argument was that we still don't quite understand them, that we still don't quite understand the mystery of what captivates us about the Beatles. And I think that's very true, that we don't quite get it, just as we don't quite get why that sonata or that musical fusion from the 19th century still enraptures us.
Yeah.
The idea of classic melodies is a great mystery. There's something about a song or an album that connects with us, and often it happens in a very personal way. And whatever the Beatles were saying back during their recording heyday still connects with just about anyone who listens to them on a very deeply personal level.
Talk a little bit about your presentation. I assume that this really has morphed over time and has changed over time.
What do you mean? Elaborate, if you would.
Well, I mean, I assume that this is always an evolving process for you of changing the program and what you talk about and what you add to it because the group is still relevant and there's new things to talk about.
Well, certainly so, and what I try to do is find that little something that an audience member can take away, something they didn't know. And of course, that's tough with the Beatles. Most of the people who show up, unless we're talking about the young kids in the audience, know that Yesterday went under the working title of Scrambled Eggs, right? That sort of stuff. There's a lot of walking around knowledge that people tend to have, and so what I try to do is take them to a different place. For example, maybe Abbey Road Studio 2, where the Beatles did such a lion's share of their work, and take them inside the studio and maybe show them a bit of trickery that George Martin used to bring their ideas to life. So I try to find that little nuance that perhaps people didn't already have, so that when they walk out, they have a new way of appreciating the Beatles.
It is all fascinating stuff. Kenneth Womack is a professor of English and associate dean for academic affairs at Penn State University, and he discusses the evolving artistry of the Beatles, and it's a fascinating program. You can find out more by going to the Pennsylvania Humanities Council website, and I assume you're doing these programs all the time, right?
You bet. I'm happy to meet with just about any civic group there is to share the music of the Beatles, and it's a trite saying that the Beatles created, but a splendid time is guaranteed for all. You know, when you have such joyous music and such heart-affirming material to work with, it's hard not to leave audiences satisfied at some level or another.
Kenneth Womack, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.